Welcome to Backyard Villains, a DeSoto Wiffle Ball podcast. I'm Matt Camp. Today we're going to talk about church softball and DeSoto Wiffle Ball. Start off with, we'll talk about church softball. So, the season so far, we've got four games left, and the new prospects sit with a 3-5 record, which I don't want to say pop the cork on the champagne too quickly, but that's three wins more than we had last year. Which, granted, last year was a different team, but we've put together some wins where we should, and to be fair, we've dropped some games that we probably shouldn't. But we played some good teams this year, and I felt like we've done really well against them. And we don't have the league's not divided like it is in normal years into an A league and a B league. It's just one overall league, and they've jammed all the teams together, which is fun for sportsmanship. But it kind of puts us at a disadvantage. None of our guys play travel ball or play competitive softball. It's basically just some guys that do it in their spare time. And for that being said, to have the talent that we have just for that is astonishing. And we'll go around the league. We'll go around the team here in a minute and talk about some of the guys. But the leaders in our league are right now is Brown, Baptist, and East Point. Two teams, and East Point's new, I think, to this league. So to have Brown is 7-0 and East Point is 7-1. So to have those two teams in our league makes it tough, but that's what we like. We like that challenge. And I'll say this, that while our game against East Point was a bit lackluster, and Ryan Kuhn actually sustained an injury in that game and things got a little heated between us, our best defensive game was played against Brown. And I think they'll agree with that, but they're a really good team, really talented team. So they're in first and second. Third place is Life Fellowship 1. As most people know, Life Fellowship has three teams, and you can't overlook any of them. They're all really good. Fourth place is Red Banks. We played them earlier in the year. Goodman Oaks, and then Redeemer, and then Life Fellowship 3, followed by Life Fellowship 2. So that right there shows you how much talent that Life Fellowship group has. And then behind them is Maples, and then New Prospect, and then Olive Branch Church of Christ, Cornerstone, Emmanuel, and First Baptist. So the wins that we have are against Emmanuel, First Baptist, and Church of Christ, I believe. And so we've got a 3-5 record. We've got tonight, we've got Life Fellowship 1, followed by Redeemer. So you talk about just a whammy on a doubleheader. 2-0 would be great. 1-1 would be awesome too. 0-2 is possible, but what I appreciate about our team is that my guys are going to come out and they're going to play, every pitch, every hit. They're going to play everything they need to with 100% effort. I never have to question that out of those guys. So you want to talk about a really hard-hitting league. This is the one. And so with four games left, it's up to us how we want it to end. You know, if we want to try to get back to 500 and try to push over the top by one, when you try that, you know, I think all the games we've got left are winnable. Now, they're against tough teams. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They're certainly against tough teams. We've got those two games tonight, and then after that, we've got Life Fellowship 3, and then we end the year with Maples. And all four of these are games that were rainout games. So they're games that we would normally already know the record of afterwards. But all four, winnable games, good teams, so we got to buckle down and just kind of handle our business. And there, like I said, there was games earlier in the year that we should have won that we didn't. We let it get away, and that's on us. So our bats are better this year, and defensively we're just stout. Pitching, Jody Savage has been pitching for us most of the year and has had a really good season. He had a tough night the other night, and it was raining a lot, and the strike zone kept shrinking, it seemed like. But I think for the pressure that he had to pitch under, I thought he did a really good job. And defensively, I don't believe there's a better pitcher in the league. You put Jody on the mound and the ball gets hit to him, 9 times out of 10, he's going to come up with it. And so that's a big help, really big help. He takes that middle away. Catcher has alternated between Chris Kuhn and Squirrely Rand, which is Randy Geyer. Those two have kind of alternated back and forth different games just to get them both some defensive work in. Chris has come a long way from a player that we weren't 100% confident throwing to at the plate to, I don't think he's missed the ball all season, and he's even made some tag outs. He's done really caught some pop flies. Defensively, he's come just full circle. He's come 100% better than what he was when we started. And at the plate, he's doing really good too. He's taking a good approach. He's not hitting the ball up in the air a lot. He's making them work. He's trying to put the ball where they're not. So I got good things to say about Chris. Randy the same way. Defensively, he's solid back behind the plate. He's got some things to work on, just like all of us do. And then at the plate, Randy has been pretty good, pretty consistent. He's real picky. He makes you throw strikes, which is something that I think the rest of us need to learn from and adapt into our own game. And then twice now, he's had a no-hit order. He's had an order to go up there and don't swing until they throw a strike. Twice, he's ignored that, and twice, he's hit just screamers and got on base. So we may just tell him consistently, go up there and don't swing till you get a strike, and maybe you'll get a base hit every time. So really happy with him. First base, like a lot of other positions, has alternated throughout the season. It's gone back and forth. The best first baseman on our team is still by far Jody Savage. But with the hole at the mound, he's had to fill that role. So it's alternated between me. I've played first some, did okay. And Hollywood, Matt Brown, he stepped into that role. And I'd say he's probably our second best first baseman. And once he gets in the groove with it, I think he could compete with Jody. I think it's a matter of shaking the rust off. Second base is one of those other positions that's kind of been a revolving door. I've played there a lot. I feel comfortable there. I like it there. But Beards played there a game. Randy Geyer played there and actually did a really good job. Caught a rocket that was hit to him, snagged it, and even fielded a ground ball and threw a guy out there. Steven De Leon's played there, and we'll get to Steven in a minute, but he's a player that you can put anywhere. He's a lockdown defensive player. As I mentioned earlier, Ryan Coon sustained a pretty severe injury against East Point, and that was last Thursday, and he took this Tuesday off, and he might take today off. I'm not really sure. It's going to kind of be up to his discretion, but with that injury, if he returns today, he's probably going to play second because while it does require a lot of talent, it doesn't require as much mobility. And that's going to be his biggest opponent moving forward is how much can he run and how much can he stress that injury that he sustained to his hamstring. So, and let's talk about Ryan for a minute. He got hurt during East Point. He got hurt because he gives 100% every single play, every pitch. And that's the kind of guy that you want on your ball club. He's the heart of our team. When he went down, we went down. And we rallied around him. And for a group of bats that were not going all night, stepped up. And once he got that injury and had to leave the game, we stepped up and rallied around that and actually started putting some good hits together. So Ryan, whether he's playing third or short or second or outfield or catching, no matter what it is, he's one of those guys, and we have several of them, and Steven's one of them. They're those guys that give their whole heart, their whole body for the team, no matter what it is. And it's just church softball to a lot of guys. And there's times where I have that same opinion. But for guys like Ryan and Steven and a lot of other guys on our team, it's more than that, and it's competitive, and it's every single pitch you've got to give your all. And that's what Ryan does. At the plate, in the field, he was hurting in that game. And it's my fault. I should have taken him out, and I didn't. But he ended up, you know, on a play he was giving his all on, he ended up getting hurt, and he had to leave. I think he's getting better. I think he's okay. But it was a reality shock for a lot of us. So he's had a really good year in the field, a really good year at the plate. So all the work that we've done this offseason, he's done a lot of work, paid off. Shortstop has been Brandon Byers all year, and I think if you ask anybody on our club, there's nobody else that's going to go there. He's a vacuum at short, makes the plays. He's got a rocket for an arm, man, just a cannon. And he gets it there to the first baseman. He's had a real good year at the plate. The last game we had, he had an over-the-fence home run and an inside-the-park home run. So he's having a really good season, and I'm glad we added. He was a late addition to the team, but I'm glad he was added to the team because he's benefiting us greatly. So third base is a position that has pretty much been one player. It's been Beard all year, and you can't ask for much more than what Beard has done for us. You know, he's knocked the ball down when he needed to, when he could. You know, a lot of times they hit the ball and they're just all you can do just to get to it. So, but but any playable ball, he makes a play on. And, you know, he's got the awareness to know he's got a real high baseball IQ. He knows where to be, when to be there. He knows when to throw behind a runner. And, you know, we've gotten, what, three players in rundowns this year. And whereas last year I can't remember any. And so for us to have three players in rundowns, two of them we got out, that's a big help. And that's baseball IQ. And one of those is because of Beard. And so he's real smart baseball IQ. He's having a good year at the field. He's having an okay year at the plate. I think patience is a big thing that he needs to work on, which a lot of us do. So it's just one of those things. But you can't ask for more from Beard. He's a leader in the team. You know, he's a guy that you want on your club no matter what. You want him in the dugout. He's a rally chief. You know, like I said, he's a leader. He's a guy that I want to stay around as long as he's willing to come. Left field has been precarious. It started out with Cody Byers, and then we rotated to Ryan, moved out there. Ryan had a good time at left, and he's been locking it down. But with that injury, some people have had to step up. And one of those guys that has stepped up has been Steven DeLeon. And Steven's played second. You know, he's filled in at third. He's moved to left. But he's another guy that goes 100% all the time, and the fatigue is starting to show. You know, he's playing for a couple different teams, and, you know, we're trying not to wear him out too much. So try to give him a break soon. But as far as fielding goes, he's a lockdown. When the ball's hit to Steven, I just walk off the field if it's two outs. I don't have to worry about if he's coming down with it. I don't have to worry about if he's going to miss it or misread it. When it's hit to Steven, I walk off the field. Just the way it is. At the plate, he's had a real good time. You know, he's been very productive at the plate. He's got RBIs. He's smart on the base paths. He gives up his body on the base path. He wears shorts but still slides. That's a tough dude, man. And that's part of the Mexican in him, but that's a tough guy. And the rest of the outfield is filled out with we've got a new guy that started with us. I think his last name is Jordan. But he's running all over the place and knocking things down. And I think went 2 for 3 the other night to play. Can't ask for much more than that. Max Oswalt is a new player that came on this year, and he's been a real asset in the outfield. And just a joy to watch him get better as the season's going. And he's a student of the game. And I've learned that from just by watching him and talking to him. He's a student of the game, and he's eager to learn. And he's had a good season. Hayden Turner came in this year and has played with us. And Hayden is like Max. He's another guy that's just raw talent. He's got power at the plate, speed when he runs. He reads the ball well. He gets to the ball. He puts his hands on it. Now, I mean, he plays right field, and anybody that plays outfield will tell you when a right-handed batter hits to the right field, it's going to tail, and it's going to have some funk to it. But Hayden doesn't let that bother him. He runs it down, and he puts his hands on it. So I'm pretty happy with having him added to the team. Cooper Adney's back this year. Corey's back this year, Corey McCaleb. He and Cooper are – you know, two guys that I'm confident enough to put out there in the outfield and not have to worry about it. So Joey Lemons came and played this one game. Joey actually got a bad back injury during preseason practices, and he ended up having to – we put him on the injured reserve, but he ended up having to sit out a lot, and I think he's still being you know, cautious with it, which nobody blames him. So Randy Atkinson has he's come to play with us. He's one guy that does play in the beer league, and man, what a nice guy. Just what a great guy. Anytime you talk to him, he's upbeat. He wants everybody to be happy and in a good mood. And it's infectious. He's the guy you want on your ball club. He and Brian Hanna have that in common. Randy's pitched for us some and pitched well. You know, you don't have to worry about walking a lot of people when he comes up. And he hits the ball really well. He's a smart ball player. He knows where to hit the ball and how to get it there. And again, finishing everything up, Brian Hanna's come and played with us this year. And he's one of those power bats that we talk about all the time that, you know, he swings for the fences and most of the time he gets it over, you know. But he also knows how to hit around fielders. And he pitches for us and he can play wherever we need him to. He's just another one of those natural ball players. And so with a 3-5 record, we've got the team to, I think, take 4 of the last 4 games, but that's always tricky, especially when you're coming against the talent that we're coming up against. Life Fellowship won. They've got a real talented club. and they've got the wins to prove it. And Redeemer is putting points up against whoever they want and just running the score right up as much as they want to. They're a good team. You know, I personally know a lot of players on that team, and they're talented. They're really, really talented. They're a hard team to beat. So just staying with them is going to be a challenge. But when we focus, I think we've got a good team. I really do. So I think we could finish the year 4-0. We could finish at 0-4. So it's 2-2. It's one of those things that it depends on what prospect team you get. So we'll see how that turns out. But I've been pretty happy with this season. Like I said, 3 wins is better than the grand total of 0 that we put up last year. So real happy about that. Now moving on to wiffle ball. With the season coming to an end, the regular season, here are the standings. The American Aces are in first with an 8-0 record with a total run total of 63. Savage Wiffle Club comes in second with a 5-2 record and 58 run total. Third place is the Backyard Heroes with a 3-4 record and a 52 run total. The Southern Bandits are in fourth with a 3-5 record and a 32 run total. And the Tri-County Bolts are in fifth with an 0-8 record, 29 win total. Now you may notice that the Savage Wiffle Club and the Backyard Heroes, their records are one number shy of everybody else's. They played 7. Jody and I had a game scheduled. We never could get it worked in with our busy schedules, so we ended up just cutting it out altogether, deciding that whether one of us won or lost, it wasn't really going to impact the seeding for the postseason tournament or the place or the rankings for the season. So we ended up scrapping that and just moving on from that. So that's how everybody finished. And we actually just had the home run derby. We had the first annual Baby Ruth home run derby for DeSoto Wiffle Ball, and the winner was El Toro Loco, Steven De Leon. Now he wasn't listed on the rankings because he came in mid-season and joined the league, so he wasn't eligible for this season. Now he won't be in the postseason, he wasn't in the regular season, but he was able to participate in the home run derby because it wasn't an official regular season affiliation. It was kind of an in-between thing, and it didn't affect the standings at all. It was just something to do for fun that we had an idea for. So he came in, and happy for him and surprised, you know, that rookie came in and went to work, put up some big numbers, you know, beat out some big guys. So congratulations to him. He got a trophy. And he put that up, and that I'm sure that's the most treasured thing he owns. He's going to have a baby soon, and I'm sure that he'll tell his baby about that. You know, I know I would. It's a very prestigious award, and I'm happy for him. So the seeding for the tournaments go, obviously, in order from the rankings. The 1 seed is the American Aces. 2 seed is the Savage Wiffle Club. 3 seed is the Backyard Heroes. 4 seed is the Southern Bandits, and 5 seed is the Tri-County Bolts. Now, this Sunday, June the 6th, we're going to be playing that tournament. And the way that it's going to work is you're going to go by your seed, but the way the bracket's set up is the 4 and 5 seed will play first. And that's the Southern Bandits and the Tri-County Bolts. And then immediately following that game, the winner of that game will play the 1 seed, the American Aces. Now, after that game, Savage Wolf Club and the Backyard Heroes will go to work. And then the winner of that one plays the winner of the 1 seed and the winner of the 4 and 5 seed. So whoever that is will be your 2021 DeSoto Wiffle Ball champion. Happy with the way the tournament's gone, the season's gone. Happy that we've been able to get through the season injury-free, argument-free. There hasn't been a lot of you know, rule breaking. There hasn't been a lot of arguing about rules. It's been a learning year, and I think that we're kind of filling each other out. But as far as we came in, we fought with 5. We've added one. I'm talking to another guy about playing with us next year. So we're growing the league. Maintaining it is a miracle by itself, but growing the league is the ultimate goal. We've brought awareness to fire and EMT, law enforcement, and military personnel, child cancer. And then this Sunday, the Backyard Heroes jersey is going to represent breast cancer. So it'll be a pink jersey, kind of bringing awareness to that. So we've represented all those. We've represented St. Jude and gotten their name out there and kind of gotten them, not that they need it, but we've gotten them some coverage on our page and on our games and all. So Everything's gone the way that everybody expected it to, as far as the wins goes. But it's been a lot of fun, and we haven't had anybody get irritated, quit. We haven't had any smack talk, any more than usual, at least. So for this to be the first year for DeSoto Wiffle Ball, I think everything's gone pretty well. I'm happy with it, and as a commissioner, it's my job to make sure that the league does run well, and I need help with that sometimes. And I know that I'm a busy guy, but the good thing about it is I've got guys that are willing to step up and help and do things and have suggestions and have ideas, and it's a democracy that the league's run on, so we're able to actually utilize everybody's ideas and put everything together and have a good product, and that's what we want for the league. So we've been pretty happy with that. Congratulations to Ryan Kuhn and the American Aces, coming out on top as the regular season champion. So happy to him for that. I'm gonna be announcing the Gus Bus Pitching Award and also the Great Hambino Slugger Award later today. So I'm gonna get that out on the Facebook page. So y'all stay close to the page to kind of listen for that. And like the page, like the podcast, share the podcast. If you've got suggestions about what you want us to talk about or anybody you want us to interview, just go to Backyard Villains Facebook page and comment on the podcast or leave it on the message board and just say, hey, well, y'all talk about this, discuss this. Postseason baseball's coming up. A lot of SEC teams in the postseason, so we'll be kind of talking about that and going over that. So there's a lot of baseball going on, whether it's baseball, wiffle ball, or softball. We're here to talk about it. Those are the updates for the wiffle ball and the softball, but we're here to talk about everything. So, with that being said, this is Backyard Villains of the DeSoto Wiffle Ball Podcast. I'm Matt Camp. I'll talk to y'all soon.